morning to you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis.
Yes.
Right here, 720 WGN.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Were you surprised to see Omarosa is no longer with the administration? And she didn't get the limousine ride that is normally associated with leaving, you know, the Trump and the whole apprentice situation.
No.
Sounded like there's something got ugly at the end there, if you believe some of the reporting that's out there, that she turned in her resignation letter, but then there was high drama and potentially even an escort out of the building.
Oh, who would have seen that coming?
I know.
Exactly. I mean, it's an embarrassment that she was there in the first place. She is a reality show villain. And the reality is that she was, that's all she's ever really been. She is a poop stirrer. That's what she does. She goes in any circumstance, creates fiefdoms, divisions, and then exploits them, makes people nuts. That has been her way. That's why they fired her from The Apprentice. And somehow Donald Trump, the only thing I can surmise from this, and I'm not trying to be too snotty when I say this, but I don't think that Donald Trump had a whole lot of folks from the African-American community that he was close with going into this.
He has a lot of black friends.
Uh-huh. And so therefore, Omarosa seemed like, well, you know, and she's his kind of personality type, a poopster, somebody who's, you know, going to get in there and give it to you, you know, as well as whatever. And he likes her because he feels that she was incredibly loyal to him after he fired her. So there was that. And everybody was like, what?
I know.
From Reince Priebus, when it first started, Reince Priebus was like, no. We're going to put you over here. She had a $180,000 a year job at the White House. $180,000 a year.
It's a public service job.
Is what she made. And no one could tell you what she did. She did community outreach, theoretically. And remember, she brought in black ministers to come talk to the president in his outreach. And it turned out one of the guys was a complete fraud who was there.
That was not vetted and certainly shouldn't have been part of it all had he been vetted.
Should have been fired right then and there. So she and John Kelly got into it.
Well, if you look at how instrumental the black vote was in unseating Moore's possibilities for going to the Senate, 30% of the votes were blacks in Alabama who voted for the Democrat in this case. I don't think she's doing a very good job with the outreach. Not that she had an easy job to do, but they're saying here that
it was a personnel issue, though. It wasn't about that, I don't think.
She said there are some storylines that say she felt she had enough after the Republican Party backed Moore and that she couldn't stand for them.
Okay, right. That was the final straw.
It seems to be with John Kelly asked for her to depart, and she tried to go above him to the president, and then things got ugly.
Right. John Kelly had cut off her access to the White House because she found that according to the story that is out today, that she was a mood-altering human for the president. When he'd be in a good mood, she'd go into the Oval Office, and then he'd come out all crazy because she'd gaslight him on stuff. You know, she'd be like, "Hey, what about the?" And then she'd print off things from crazy websites. What about this? To see this, the Martians attacked, and the Democratic state governors did nothing about it.
Can you imagine when Bannon was there as well?
Oh God!
Competing crazy stories.
I'm totally right about. I was wrong about the outcome of the election. I predicted that Moore was going to win this thing going away. Certainly looked like it was trending that way. I think Anna got this one 100% right. I got this one. Well, it's called 100% wrong because I was wrong. You were talking about reduced turnout amongst the evangelical crowd and the people like that would be, especially women who would be otherwise partisan to voting for a Republican or a conservative Republican, but they just couldn't quite pull it for Roy Moore. Do you realize Roy Moore in his own town has never won an election?
No.
Those who know him. As opposed to, you know, not the guy who just hides behind God and the church and his own version of biblical reality. Not just that guy, but the people who actually know him and deal with him want nothing to do with him. And I think
that tells you something, doesn't it?
Well, I think that's the sense of what people in Alabama, I think that was really the more concentric issue here. And, you know, and they voted for a guy they don't really know who is a Democrat. And in Alabama, I saw a guy from the Evangelical Theological Union yesterday talking about the fact that, you know, Alabama has sent a not only a pro-choice, but he called him pro-abortion senator to the United States Senate. Oh, my God. That will never happen. How did that ever happen? And this is how it happened, because it was because Roy Moore was such a bad choice.
Well, the cover of one of the Alabama newspapers just said Senator Doug Jones, and then it had parentheses D. That was the entire headline. Because it's such news that a Democrat claimed the seat in Alabama, which hasn't had somebody since the 1990s, a Democrat.
Right.
In that role. It's a big deal there.
Well, the last Democrat they elected became a Republican.
My favorite part of the night was Doug Jones celebrating with Teach Me How to Dougie playing in the background.
Oh, God.
Was that happening? Oh, how'd I miss that?
There were so many things that happened last night that were awkward at the party. There was so much white guy overbite at that party last night.
Yeah.
It was like, he didn't know exactly what to do there. There was a guy that looked just like Bernie Sanders jumping up. I think it might have been Bernie Sanders jumping up and down the middle of the room when they announced it.
Well, then he was lost.
I mean, it was quite a moment, because I just imagined how what was going on over the Roy Moore headquarters. And I thought it was really telling. Roy Moore last night not only didn't give a concession speech, but he didn't even call Doug Jones. He was just sort of like, that's right. Well, we're going to let God do the recount and then we'll get back to you on this. And we can't have you people going home at 11 o'clock at night. So we're going to leave now. 11 o'clock at night. 11 o'clock at night. What?
We're done?
I mean, you'd be getting home as late as 11 o'clock at night. We just can't have that. It's really? I know why. It's curfew. I get it. Okay.
Oh,
I get it. I see. All right. Violetta's got the WGN traffic trail system. Waiting all day for that one.
Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com and check it out today.
It's Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN, and Michael Steele joins us, former head of the Republican Party. Boy, is he happy that he's the former head of the Republican Party when he had to take a look at the poop sandwich, which was coming down his way in Alabama last night, and now chairman. I would say that this is probably, I've heard a lot of Republicans say today, this is addition by subtraction. This is the dodging of a bullet. No less a conservative voice than Peter King from New York, who's not afraid to throw a bomb or two when he's got the chance, when he can take the shot, went after Steve Bannon today, saying that he looks like the drunk uncle in the room. He needs to be stopped. He needs to be excised from the Republican conversation. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, okay. This is what you call turnabout fair play. Steve Bannon wanted a war. Okay, let's bring you a war. We're gonna take it to your doorstep now that you've shown us what you've got, which basically has resulted in the loss of a Senate seat in a deep red state. So you're going to see, I think, a concerted effort started last night by the majority leader, Mitch McConnell, in slamming Steve Bannon, making him the center, the focus of their ire, not the president, although they're not pretty happy with him either. But, you know, hell, they got to work with him. So, okay, let's set him to the side and focus on Bannon, since Bannon is the architect and the executioner on behalf of the Trump agenda. So you're going to see more of that, and I think it's well placed. Since Bannon wants to do this, okay, let's do it. The result, though, in the end, could be problematic for the party as a whole, as the base continues to fracture more and more along those fault lines. I'm a Trumper. You're a never Trumper, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to make galvanizing support for Republican candidates harder in general elections in some key states and districts around the country next year. They need to be mindful of that. But the takedown of Bannon in the first instance is expected and probably will be rather fierce.
Do you think that the move on Omarosa today, I by the way, I want us to all stop and acknowledge that this is a question coming out of my mouth from me, Rokan, to you, Michael Steele, esteemed member of the political class for the last quarter century in America. I ask you this question. Do you think it's a good move that they moved Omarosa today out of the White House because they're trying to get the crazy train to stopping there?
Yes. Yes.
Is this part of it?
In there. She has no business in the White House. She was ill-equipped in the first instance, largely because she's a Democrat. She's a Democrat who's supposed to engage with black Republicans. Well, that was a non-starter because she didn't give a damn about black Republicans. And I think that was also a reflection of the president himself. Either she influenced that thinking or was consistent with her thinking. And the fact that if she influenced that thinking tells me a lot. She had no place there. Kelly knew and knows where the crazy centers are, and he's trying to release them so they can be free-range crazy outside of the West Wing.
Well, are they dangerous outside the West Wing?
100 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Will she be causing much trouble now because she's got the ear TMZ?
She's going to be good fodder for TMZ. That's great, but that's not going to influence the things that are going to be important for Kelly to get done in the White House, nor will it be important or influence the things that need to be done that black Republicans like myself and others have been trying to do for the past 10 months to keep this administration out of the zone it is right now with black folks, which is they've gotten to the point, African Americans have gotten to the point where there's not a passion against Donald Trump. They are wholly indifferent, which in politics is the death knell. It is the worst thing you can have happen when a voting bloc or a voter is indifferent to your very existence and what you have to offer. And the more this administration lingers in that area, the harder it's going to be for candidates around the country to make the case to communities of color, to women, et cetera, that need to be made.
Well, isn't there a mistrust, though? In the African-American community, don't they come from Charlottesville, that moment and some of the other moments here and the sort of wink and a nod to the extremists in America? And don't you find that I hear it more. Obviously, we're in Chicago here, so we hear it more. But that there's more fear and concern in the black community about Donald Trump, that maybe he might be a very scary and familiar figure to them.
Well, he is, but that still doesn't mean that there are connections that can be made individually one-on-one between candidates and the constituencies they want to represent. I look at the Ed Gillespie campaign, for example. People, despite the turn the campaign took for God knows whatever reason at the end, Ed had built up a significant amount of support among African Americans. In fact, spent a lot of time in the community and making that investment. And despite it all, wound up getting the largest percentage of the black vote that any Republican had ever gotten in the state. But for those types of missteps that draw you into the world of Trump, where all things Trump are disregarded and not trusted by the black community, he probably would have done very well, probably well enough to have won that election. But these are lessons that need to be learned and properly understood in context, so that as you look around the country, and now including some deep red states and congressional districts, that vote is going to become more and more important, I think. And so the question the party has to ask itself, Roe, is, okay, do we continue to alienate that vote? Do we disregard that vote? Do we take it for granted? What do we do? Or do we actually, despite what the recent history has been, try to engage and work around some of the stuff, or maybe even pull the president in a direction in which his fate is going to turn on whether or not African Americans by 2020 trust him enough or are less indifferent toward him to actually want to support him.
Speaking of the black vote and also political players who we didn't know would be political players, let's talk about Charles Barkley. I mean, he was out there out front for Doug Jones, and talk about the role he played. He also was one of the people coming out and saying, this is a wake-up call to stop taking black and poor white voters for granted. This is a moment in time we should all take notice of what's happening here in politics. And he seemed like a very strong voice. You think he has a political future himself?
You know, I don't know. I don't take moments like that. I mean, I hate people who, you know, someone says something, does something, everybody says, oh, you know, you should run for something. I'm like, no, you don't. You don't need to run for anything. Just thank you for sharing your thoughts.
He's talked about it in the past, though, hasn't he, about running for things in Alabama? He was even a Republican before he said the Republicans lost their damn minds and he changed parties.
Yeah, he's nuts. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to stop this.
But there are a lot of people in politics that are nuts. I mean, come on. The year is 2017.
I know. But maybe wouldn't it be nice to have people who are actually interested in public service as opposed to public fame to be involved in this and just about the power?
Right. It'd be wonderful.
I mean, that would be a nice moment. Or a bar bet, which is, I think, how Donald Trump did it. I think it was certainly one to prove to his other CEOs and real estate guys in New York, I'm bigger than you, so watch this. You know, I mean,
that's where we are. Hold
my 727 and watch this. What we saw last night is an important moment, I think, for sanity. And I think there's a lot of people, and I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of Republicans, even though they lost a seat, they don't think it's really going to, you know, hurt them in this legislative year because they still all they need is 50, right? 50 votes.
Right.
And so, we'll just have to see. They're going to get, there's a lot of other people to run here. This is important, too, because there are a lot of, I don't want to say mainstream, because mainstream is now turned into a bad word. But there are a lot of Republicans who've been Republicans for their lives, a lot of conservative Republicans, a lot of people like Michael Steele, who we're talking to right now, who are going to feel better about the list of candidates that are coming out, because crazy don't fly, even in a place where it should. And that's the – because right now, I think America's –
what happens if you have the crazy don't fly? The fact that this guy was so out there, though, in terms of his record, I think is what just kept people away. But I think
there's hope, and money will come back into this. And I think there's hope that people who are regular Republicans – I mean, no one's talking about the Democrats here because, you know, again, a potted plant might have been able to beat –
I would think so.
You know, might have been able to win last night. I think
that's an important point that a lot of people are getting a little bit twisted. You know, any other Republican running in that primary, in that general election, would have cleaned Jones's clock.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, I'm listening to Democrats act like, oh my God, they've turned this magical, you know, fairy dust corner, where all of a sudden now they're going to be winning in places like Arkansas and Mississippi. And,
yeah, and
I'm like, no, dude, no, that's not happening. That was one off. There's some lessons for both parties to learn. There's no doubt. But the reality for Mr. Jones, Senator like Jones, is that when he gets to the Senate, he's going to vote as much with Republicans as he will with Democrats if he wants to keep that seat. Because his truth is, come 2020, when he's up to run for a full term, he's going to probably wind up losing that election. He will lose that to whatever Republican is standing opposite him in 2020.
Yeah, the return of Jeff Sessions after he's removed from the DOJ.
Right.
Yeah.
He does one of two things. He either winds up running more towards Republicans or actually becomes a Republican, as Senator Shelby did.
Right. That's just what you...
That's the truth of Alabama.
Yeah. That is
true.
Let's
not get it twisted.
Yeah. All right. Well, it was an interesting night, and I'm breathing the sigh of relief that the world is not as crazy as I think it is, because I think if the good people of Alabama mm-hmm. had, if those 21,000 people had gone the other way, or not had a write-in. It'd be a moment of further destabilization. Even though I know a lot of Republicans don't want a Democrat there, I think it's better than the alternative of the Republican Party being seen as a complete loony bin. All right, Michael, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You got it, my friend.
Thank you.
Take care now.
Good luck to
everybody. Hi, Michael.
Hi, everybody. Here is Judy Pilak standing by. She's not here yet. Why do I always say it like that? What I mean is that she has the news in 2 minutes. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Tom Skilling joins us.
Hello, Ro. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Tom.
How are you guys doing? Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day.
Happy Wednesday.
Tom.
Yeah.
Tom.
Yeah.
I'm looking outside, Tom.
Are you already upset about something, Ro?
No. No, it's been a beautiful day.
Ro,
there's a snow. It's turned into a rain downtown.
Yes.
There's wind. The color of gray that is outside right now.
I don't like the gray.
Not very attractive, is it?
No, it's they call it gunmetal gray, right?
Yeah.
There's a gray. This is gun in the mouth gray. Is what this is. This is
gun
like the
gray.
End of time. It's like a Tim Burton Batman movie. It's the end of times.
All right, I'm going to see.
Yeah, take a look. Do you have a window anywhere you can see?
You know what? I'm typing out notes to myself. Do something about the gray.
All right, if you're, you know, here's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
Get on your phone. Call
this
us back.
Weather
I want you
by
to,
request.
I want you to walk outside. I don't know what you can see.
Just take a look.
I want you to walk
it,
outside and tell me I'm right that at least it's depressing outside.
Or just tell us that it's not going to be this way for very much longer.
Right, no, it won't be for not terribly much longer. But no, I drove through it on the way in today, and I know exactly what you're saying. Not pretty.
No.
Not pretty.
No.
That gets you more than the cold, I think. Sort of, at least me.
I know.
The gray sky.
I think you're right.
It's rough.
That meso, what do you call that?
A meso low?
Yeah, like a meso low, like the big, like gigantic blanket that is, when you're in a situation like this, if you ever get on a plane and you're flying somewhere and you get over it and you're like, oh, there's sun up here. But then you look down and it's like,
No matter how
far you fly, it's the same blanket over the United States.
I know.
Like a big gray blanket.
And sometimes you look down, you see that halo around the reflection of the sun. That's called a glory. I thought maybe you were bringing that up.
No. I'm just talking about when you get above it and you realize it's the one thing that makes me happy about. My happy place is on an airplane climbing through those clouds.
You know, it really is true, isn't it? How many times have you climbed above a truly ugly cloud deck? And you've thought,
it's up here.
Heaven's sakes.
Still is up here.
It's like a different world up here.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like the gray skies. You don't have to squint. There's no sun.
You know, and
you are the laziest human being I have ever.
I hate the sun. I hate it.
Not only that, Violetta, it kind of communicates to you that it's time to get down to business and do some work. You figure you can't be doing anything else.
No, time for a nap and relax.
This is lazy. A couple of weeks ago, when it popped back up into the 50s, she didn't like it because it screwed up her fashion choices. She wasn't sure, is it warm? Is it cold? I don't know. It's too much.
It's difficult to dress in this stuff. I know.
Sounds like someone else I know.
Yeah.
What?
Who would that be, Anna?
I'm just saying.
Who might that be?
Just saying. Cat in the little pot calling the kettle black. Yeah.
You know, I enjoy these types of days, too, under certain circumstances. Like, if I'm going to post up on a Sunday and watch football for 8 hours, I don't mind an overcast.
I think you're on
the sunny skies, Kevin. Though, during the week kind of get you going a little bit more than what we're dealing with today. We'll say that.
I know.
But on the weekend, if you're going to be lazy, maybe you had a late night on Friday and you're looking forward to wearing sweatpants for 8 or 9 hours on a Saturday afternoon.
So you can have a bad Sunday as well?
Right, yeah, you know, you're spending a weekend on the couch?
Sure.
You know what? The gray skies are fine.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you know what's going to be interesting in the next few hours? This little clipper is going southeastward, and as it does, there's a band of northerly winds that'll start coming down a good fetch of the lake at about the same time the colder air on the backside of the system circulates in, and it appears to be the setup to get some bands of lake effect snow to start developing. We have just light stuff right now, kind of the wraparound on the backside of this little low, but I wouldn't be surprised somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 or 7 o'clock through 2 in the morning, these little bands will start showing up and coming in from the north northeast in lakeside counties. And any one of those, as happened the other day when we had that little band come through, might produce a quick 1 or 2 inches of snow in the areas they affect. They'll only be in lakeside counties. Inland areas will clear out partially later tonight. So it'll be interesting to see. That's a wild card. And again, if a couple of them really got going, you get a little more than that in spots. But the operative word there is spots. And the other operative word is no blizzards, no snowstorms in sight at this point. it does look like as you get out a week or two that the pattern may change a little bit. And if you're really seriously looking for some snow, maybe somewhere in the pattern that's evolving. We don't see the specific storm yet, but it's the kind of pattern you'll start watching for something that develops, and that'd be on toward Christmas and the days afterwards.
Huh?
So it could be cold for Christmas, too. The low 20s, probably.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. But are you looking at, do you see, like, big snowstorms heading our way?
Yeah, we don't see the storm, but, you know, there's a big trough developing and a sharp temperature contrast zone. We'll be on the just on the cold side of that. And so sometimes these little things develop and run up the front side of those thermal contrast zones. So we don't see the storm yet, but it's the kind of pattern that you'll keep your
Never
eye on.
Never trust the trough.
Yeah.
Right. Over 30.
Boy.
Yeah.
That's spoken like a meteorologist.
I know.
Violetta.
She's very cranky today, but I why are you so cranky?
I'm not cranky.
Wait, no, hold on.
I love this weather. I'm happy.
Yeah. All right. I've decided to go somewhere over Christmas.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Somewhere warm with sunshine.
Yes.
Perfect.
Oh,
I'm
you're taking the show? Now. That's so nice.
Well, speaking of sunshine, Tom, if somebody on the show were to be headed to Miami, I'm not saying who exactly, maybe for the next 4 or 5 days, what could they expect, Tom, if somebody were to get out of this cold weather and maybe head south for a few days
and maybe
go on the golf course?
Kevin, what you're doing is you're asking for a personalized weather forecast from Tom Skelly.
Oh, sure, I guess.
So we can all hate on you that we're not going away?
But I might add, very artfully done.
No one can ever tell.
Very nice.
Yeah. Very transparent.
Yeah. I never would have guessed what was going on here. Well, it looks great. Tomorrow,
perfect.
Sunny, 71. Friday, sunny, 77 in Miami. 77 and sunny on Saturday. And Sunday, mostly sunny, near 80.
So perfect. Appreciate it, Tom. Thank you.
That's all right.
You guys can enjoy the
Do you always
here.
Have the Miami forecast available?
I have forecasts for everywhere.
Interesting.
Violetta, I'm ready to go.
Tom,
I mean, this is Rokon's show. You never know what's going to be popped at.
That is true.
Right,
but he's also Tom frickin' Skilling, okay? I mean, he'll figure it out. He's
you know what? We have a fellow who's on our engineering staff who's from Thailand. And every time I see him, he does not go for our cold weather around here.
No,
he says, I want some warmer weather. Give me 90 degrees. I said, you got it. But then I said, you didn't tell me where to give it to you. So, I mean, you know, could be down in
every
you know,
weatherman
Jamaica.
Comeback known to
I
man.
Know.
Yeah.
That's about as clever as I get, you know. So,
well, that's very good. This is a moment, though. I mean, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen now. I look at it this way. Every day after November 15th,
closer to spring.
that we don't have to climb over a pile of snow is a good day for me.
Ro, we've checked the books, too. And, you know, sure, it seemed like it's been kind of cloudy and cool recently. But the fact is, the vast majority of years up to this point, cool seasons up to this point, have produced both colder temperatures and more snow. The vast majority of them. So we're actually, kicking off on kind of an okay note here.
I'll take it.
Could be a lot worse.
I'm going to go someplace warm in December, and then right now I've just hatched a plan. I've never gone to the Southern Hemisphere to experience summer in winter.
Yeah,
I've found a way to take a long weekend in the Southern Hemisphere.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Where are you going? You don't want to explain?
Is South America?
Yeah.
Ooh.
You're going to Brazil?
No, I want to go further. I want to go see like the equal latitude down there.
Yeah.
To what we have here. And so it's like summer. It's like a Chicago summer.
Gotcha.
Week.
So about, 40 degrees south
like
latitude?
Yeah.
Something like
you
that?
You know what? I don't want these governments to know that I'm coming.
Just be careful, Ro. You don't wind up on a mountaintop at that latitude.
Right.
Because
no.
It could be cold. You
no,
know,
I'm going ocean. I'm going seaside.
Ah.
So I got it figured out. And I always wanted to try that. I also want to see the toilets go the wrong way.
Oh, yeah.
I have that. I've
that
never
is
done
fun.
That.
Yeah. You open up the sink and watch the swirl around the drain. It goes the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I bet I wouldn't even notice.
Yeah.
So, well, now you know about it. Well,
I knew
remember.
About it, but I mean, who watches the water swirl?
Oh, who doesn't?
You know,
I'm very interested when I flush the toilet and what's going on there.
It's very interesting in the Southern Hemisphere. The jet streams blow as they do in our mid-latitudes here from west to east. But the weather systems spin in the opposite direction.
Huh.
So that's in other words, the weather moves from west to east in the mid-latitudes, but high pressures see winds that blow counterclockwise, whereas they go clockwise up here. Mm-hmm. And low pressures spin the opposite down there as well, even though they're moving, you know, from west to east, more or less.
I got a plan.
So will you emerge happier, Ro, after you've been exposed to that much sunshine?
I think
so. Just so you can prepare us all?
I think so. And then by the time then it'll be like February. And then to me, that February 1st is the beginning of spring around here, as I tell Tom. And Tom laughs when I say that.
It helps, though, mentally to say that to yourself.
Yeah.
You do what you have to do to get through, you know? And I like that approach. That's good, Ro.
That's exactly right. Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom.
All right.
Anna, good to talk to you both.
Thank you for all of your help today.
Thank you. I'm glad. Yeah, I think you're doing wonderfully, Ro.
That's exactly what the nurse said to me right after they gave me the thorazine shot. You're doing fine, Mr. Khan.
That's right, yeah.
Count backwards from 100.
There you go.
All right, Violetta's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
And the Colts have had a hard time all season covering kicks. It's Hester. Trying to work it back to the middle. Gets past the first wave, and here he goes. It's Hester. Inside the 30. Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown. And no flag, 92 yards.
That was the greatest 17 seconds of my life. Without question.
Your football life.
My life.
Really?
If there were 17 seconds I could capture, it would have been those 17 seconds at then Pro Players Stadium.
Weren't you there?
I was there.
Yeah, that's tough
in
to
the
be.
Light rain.
I was there too.
Sitting on that goal line where Devin Hester had received the kick, and watched him run down from right to left. I'm doing my whole Jeff Joniak here, from right to left, moving his way. And I know that sweet Lou Kanellis will agree with me that if we could just, there's a lot of great things that have happened in all of our lives. But if you just have to say what was the best 17 seconds of all times, wouldn't that be it, Lou?
It was great. It was a great moment. Did you happen to see Tony Dungy at that time, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts? Did you see or hear what Tony Dungy said on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday?
No.
When talking about that game? He actually, and it was in, I believe Brad Biggs wrote the column in today's Chicago Tribune as well. But Dungy talked about it with Dan Patrick yesterday, and he said that all week they had planned the kick away from Hester in that game. And the morning of the game, Dungy decided that that would be playing scared. He didn't want to do that. He told the team, you know what? If we lose the toss, we are going to kick it right down the middle of the field to Devin Hester.
Oh,
we're
going to
pound him. We're going to take him down.
Oh, boy.
That was the worst move they could have made.
Yeah. The ensuing 59 minutes and 43 seconds was just fine for him. But those 17 seconds. Well, actually, you know, the truth be told, the Bears were in it till about midway through the third quarter.
Were they? It didn't feel like it. Maybe it's because it was so miserable.
Yeah, it was the interception. It was the pick six that changed everything for him.
Then Prince played, and then it was all downhill from there.
Yeah. Well, it was raining. It was raining cats and dogs. All right. But anyway, so the question, I guess, for you, Sweet Lou, before we get into the rest of the Bears stuff, the question for you is there a question? Should there be a question in the minds of folks now that Devin Hester has retired from football that he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Not insane minds, but you really, it's difficult to get into the minds of the Pro Football Hall of Fame voters. And that's the problem, because if you look at past history, guys, you know, they look at special teamers as that certain unique position. And, you know, Ro, you and I grew up with a guy named Ray Guy. Remember Ray Guy?
Oh, sure.
Arguably the greatest punter I've ever seen.
Yeah.
We played with the Oakland Raiders for all those years. You know, listen, he finally got into the Hall of Fame in 2014, 28 years after he retired. That's ridiculous. And what happens is I think that the pro football writers, similar to the pro baseball writers, get caught up in their own, I don't know, I'm trying to be nice here because I like a lot of the guys, but it's just, you know, the rules I think are, they go back way too far. It's not what I was looking for, but my mind's not working. Sorry, I'm coming off
a
bad cold.
They have to be out 5 years, one of the best in their position. What is it? What else would disqualify him? The fact that he was more of a special teams?
The greatest in his position.
Greatest.
The greatest of his position. And you know what, Anna, you bring up, that's to me, and Hester brought it up himself yesterday. He said, listen, the greatest quarterback of all time gets it. Even the second greatest quarterback of all time gets in, the greatest running back, the greatest safety, you name it. This man changed
games. Yeah. Forget about the 20 returns that he had for touchdowns. Forget about 14 punt returns. No other player in the history of the game has more than 10 punt returns. All right, this man changed games. He changed game plans. Kickers kicked away from him. They kicked it out of the end zone. They squibbed it. They kicked it out of bounds and took the penalty
to avoid him.
That's totally true.
The game against Arizona will go down as the greatest virtuoso performance by a special teams player in football history, because he single-handedly came back and won that game. That's the very famous with the Coach Green, you know, they are who we thought they were speech at the end of that game. That was one of the just one of the most amazing performances. And, you know, Devin Hester, I always argued, and, you know, I always know better than the coaches and general managers when it comes to the Chicago Bears, Lou, as you well know, because I like to tell you, I always know better. But I thought, you know, they had to pay him all this money to keep him. And then they made him a wide receiver, which he was never comfortable with. And now you see with Tariq Cohen something interesting. If you had made Devin Hester a situational running back or slot guy, you know, or wildcat guy, you could have extended his career. You could have been able to make the excuse for why you were paying him all this money for a kick returner. But as a kick returner, don't you want to pay a lot of money to a guy who's going to get you? You're going to start on average on your 40-yard line, no matter what the situation in the game is with him. Isn't that just worth it? Isn't that worth a roster slot only to itself?
Seriously.
Throughout Hester's career, the Bears, historically, in those 8 years, were one of the top teams when it came to field position because of Devin Hester. And you're right. You know, he was ahead of his time. If Devin Hester came out now after, let's say, the Billy White Shoes Johnson, one of my favorite players.
Oh, I loved
him. By the way, you know, was a terrific player. I mean, this guy in the 70s and 80s was arguably the greatest punt returner, kickoff returner, never got a sniff for the Hall of Fame. Brian Mitchell, right. Whose numbers, right. Actually, Brian Mitchell's numbers are better than Hester's. Never got a sniff. Didn't even make it as a semifinal, one of 27 semifinalists this year to get into the Hall of Fame. And I feel that if Hester came around today like Cohen, I mean, who knows what this guy'd be touching the ball all the time. He's bigger than Cohen,
yeah.
Faster than Cohen, okay? And he came from Miami, so he faced better talent than Cohen did. And I'm not taking anything away from Tariq Cohen. What us Bears fans are going to have to realize is, because of where Cohen played his college ball, just like Adam Shaheen, it's going to take a little bit more time to sit and wait for these guys to develop. Here's what's most amazing about Hester. Do you realize you rattled off what happened at Arizona? Bro, that happened in his rookie season.
Yeah.
He ran back a touchdown in the first game of his NFL pro career in 2006 against Green Bay. 5 weeks later, he had the Monday Night Miracle against Arizona, 83-yard punt return. He also ran back a missed field goal, 108 yards for a touchdown against the Giants that year. And then what happened in the Super Bowl? All as a rookie.
Yeah.
He broke 10 NFL records. You think about that. He changed the game. And then I love the line I love from his goodbye letter was he said, "Good news, Commissioner Goodell, you can put the kickoff back at the 30 now." Like, he did change the game, or what you thought about it, that position.
He did. He changed it. All right. So let's just give Devin Hester the due that he deserves. That is a guy who needs to go into the Hall of Fame. And he's one of the few, you know, when you stop and you think about Chicago Bears teams. Listen, that again, his rookie year, he was an instrumental player in taking our beloved Chicago Bears to the Super Bowl. Now, they lost the Super Bowl, but they won the National Football Conference.
Yeah.
The Bears are 108 years away from winning the National Football Conference again.
You got Trubisky now. It's going to happen.
I don't know.
Two years.
I have thoughts. Okay. By the way, I got to say that Ryan Pace may have saved his job on Sunday because his, as our own Kevin Powell pointed out, his picks ended up, basically playing very, very well, right, Kev?
Well, his core carried the team, right? Right, Lou? Look at it. Adam Sheehy and Mitch Trubisky had his best game of his young career. Tariq Cohen, Jordan Howard was great again. Eddie Jackson made a couple great plays. So compared to last week against the 49ers, it was a complete 180 where all of Pace's guys looked great.
Yeah, they did. I mean, you nailed it. You rattled off the guys, and it's about time. And again, as I said a couple of minutes ago, you know, I know Bears fans were all itchy, and we obviously hate the losses. But when you consider the guys that he took, all right, Shaheen out of Ashland, North Carolina AT&T for Cohen, Eddie Jackson coming off the injury, was coming off of Alabama, Trubisky playing only 13 games in college. It's going to take time. Did anyone think they'd only win four games this year? Nobody. Nobody. And it's because, part of it is frustrated because it's been year three of this rebuild program, and there hasn't been much to show for it. And I'm not going to say, listen, I've made enough mistakes saying, hey, they're going to go out and win 8, 9, 10 games. What the heck
do I know?
I know. Come on. We get it.
Optimistic,
we get it.
Right?
Lou, it's always in August where we see Lou with the big fat orange tie on the big fat knot on the orange tie on that blue suit and talking about, you know, join me Sunday for the Chicago Bears. I get it.
The optimism because we all want to be optimistic right. Going into the year. We want to know reasons why they're going to win.
He's sweet Lou Kanellis. Well, he's the Bears guy. He's the face of the television franchise. I understand it. And you have to say those things. But this year,
have to say them. I'm the ultimate fan. I can't help it. Much of a Bears fan. I love it.
But I will say this, that I, as you know, like last year, I was like, this seems going to be really dog poop. And it was. And this year, I was buying in. This year, I'm like, you know what? They could win 7, 8, 9 games even. They could sniff the playoffs. I was thinking that. And the reality is that they could still win 7 games. I mean, I guess that's possible. But do we want them to win 7 games? I mean, you know, their needs are so specific right now because the defense is pretty good. Even OB, you know, will tell you this defense, the defensive secondary is good. I think you're gonna have to sign Kyle Fuller. I think you're gonna have to keep that defensive secondary in place. Akeem Hicks is a brilliant pickup by theirs. I mean, that's probably your MVP of the year for the Bears. And there's some real opportunities, but you got to have receivers.
You got to have receivers, and you need some depth. And this team has gone through 14 players right now on IR, and they just don't have the depth because the rebuild was far greater than I think even at Ryan Pace and John Fox felt it was. And here's the other thing. You're going to have a new coaching staff, and we've all fallen in love with this defense, and I know that they love Vic Fangio, but my guess is that Vic is going to be filling the door along with John Fox and everyone else on that coaching staff. And now you're starting from scratch again. And,
why would Vic Fangio, you know, why would they not, first of all, would he be a candidate for the head coach? And why wouldn't you put that in the interviewing circumstance? Well, I guess it depends on who you get, right, as your head coach.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get a coach worth his salt, he's going to want to bring in his own guys.
Yeah.
So you're not going to force him to take the defensive coordinator. You're going to allow his own people.
Well, last time that happened, it worked out great with Buddy Ryan and Mike Ditka. Don't worry about it; it was fine.
Lou, is there anybody on your radar for the head coaching job? I know everybody keeps throwing out we want a young offensive mind because we've all seen what Sean McVay's been able to do with the Rams and Jared Goff. But you know, for me, it's just like just get a coach who knows what he's doing, right? Or do you have somebody you're leaning towards?
No, I don't have anyone, Kevin, I'm leaning towards. I do want a young mind out there, someone that can grow with Ryan Pace. And what people fail to realize is Ryan Pace didn't hire John Fox. Remember, Ernie Accorsi was the consultant that the Bears hired to go out and find them a head coach.
Yeah, great.
And John Fox had a past relationship. They both worked together on the New York Giants staff many moons ago. And Accorsi is the guy that hired Fox, and Pace inherited Fox. So in my opinion, there's no doubt the organization will say to Ryan Pace, it's your show, go out and find your guy. And unless Pace gets Sean Payton, and I don't anticipate the Saints firing Sean Payton, I think Pace will go out and hire a young, fresh mind, whether it's on offense or defense, it doesn't really matter.
but another young, fresh mind that he can build around. And, yeah, and hopefully have the same type of success that McVay has had in Los Angeles.
Oh, that would be so exciting, though.
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton, because Sean Payton was a spare bear, right? Eastern Illinois, spare bear.
Sure was.
See, the only way I see that happening, is the Saints, they're going to make the playoffs probably, but there's been talk that Drew Brees steps away from the game after this season. So if Drew Brees goes into retirement, does Payton want to be there for a rebuild? You know,
well,
I mean,
Payton
so
doesn't
that,
have a choice.
That's an option.
Under contract.
Yeah. Right. Hey, I want to ask you very quickly, is there the son of another coach? Because it seems like the NFL is filling up with guys named Gruden, and with is there another Harbaugh in the line? Although people have been talking, this is one of the crazier things I've heard.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh's name has been floated a number of times that he would leave Michigan because it's not such a successful marriage. I think that he's going to be a great coach at Michigan. I don't think he should or should ever leave there, especially since he keeps losing to Ohio State. But I mean, that does make some sense.
No chance. No chance. He's under here. Number one, he's under contract to Michigan. Number two, he won't come and inherit this mess unless he's paid upwards of $8 to $10 million. And here, whether you want to believe it or not, the Bears are still owned by a family. It's a family-run business, and the McCaskey family is not in the business of paying John Fox next year $4.5 million to do nothing, and then going and spending another $8 to $10 million on Jim Harbaugh. Plus all the assistant coaches that you have to pay for on both staffs, because all those assistants, minus Fangio, are under contract next season, so they all have to get paid, even though they're going to get fired with Coach Fox. And again, I don't know for sure that he's getting fired, but let's say that he is removed. All those assistants are going to get paid next season along with Fox. And then you got to bring in a whole brand new staff. You're talking about $15, $16 million in coaches' salaries. That's just not going to happen.
It'd be fun to see him, though, at Harbaugh.
Yeah,
he gets exciting the way he like crumples up everything and throws things and his crazy eyes and yelling at players.
You want a coach that just wins?
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Anna.
Well, if they're not winning, then you want some excitement, right? It's entertainment. That's what it is. That's why I couldn't stay in the whole end zone to celebrations when they went away.
And I have tickets for a Christmas Eve. You're more than welcome to go watch all the excitement you want when Browns come to town.
All right, sweet Lou. Right. Hey, by the way, don't you have a charity event coming up at your place, right?
Yeah, we got a big charity event on Friday, and I'm really excited about it because it's a couple of organizations that two friends of mine are very supportive of, Saving Our Daughters, and we'll be getting it rivalry at 414 North Orleans. So we're excited about supporting both, and it'll be a good time. If you guys can come on by, please come by.
All right, Friday.
Thanks, Lou.
All right. Thank you, sweet Lou.
Sweet
Lou Canellis.
I miss you guys. It was great to talk to you.
Yes, he's the best.
We do.
He's
the best. He is the best.
And this on the anniversary of Sports Phone. This is the guy.
Yes.
That was a great story, by the way, of all the alumni from Sports Phone. This is Kevin doesn't even understand what this is.
I'm not sure I know.
I've been explained once or twice of what it exactly is.
Explained what it is. It's like trying to explain what an automobile is, right?
We had these cassette tapes and we put them in.
Right. They would just keep going around and a guy would record the cassette tape and then he would, do all the sports scores. Well, why didn't you just go on the internet? Well, there wasn't an internet.
No,
why don't you just go on Twitter?
That.
What's the big deal?
And degenerate gamblers needed the information.
Sure. Go to your ESPN app. Yeah. What's the big deal?
And Lou Canellis from Sports Phone. All right, thank you very much, sweet
Thanks,
Lou.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Here is Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. Show with Anna DeBlantis right now, 720 WGN. All right.
Is this the time in the program when we start to do math?
Yes. Well, we're going to do this because we have to.
Is there going to be a test later?
There might be. And it might be on April 15th. You see what I did there? All right. Rana Ferrar is the global business columnist and associate editor for the Financial Times. She's also CNN's global economic analyst. And Rana, thank you so much for being with us. I know you're in high demand today.
I know how to do math.
Right.
Somebody can. Yeah, well, thank God.
We're in radio, so I think you pretty much know that we can't. Let's talk about the whatever the deal is that has been met here by the House and the Senate. They're meeting today technically for the first time, but this is something that they've been trying to hammer out with these two teams of senators and congressmen getting together and trying to make this thing happen. We know that the corporate tax rate is going to be at 21%. They've agreed on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that the top personal tax rate is coming down to 35%. Is that right?
37 is what we're hearing.
All right,
things are still in flux, but yeah, those are the two headline figures. And this bill, you know, as I've been saying all along, is really all about corporate tax breaks. And the thinking has been a kind of the conventional Republican thinking, which is that if you cut taxes on big corporations, particularly some of the largest firms that have a lot of money stored overseas in tax havens, and you get them to bring that money back by making the corporate rate lower, that they will spend it and create jobs. Now, I wish that were true. Unfortunately, for the last 20 years, there's not been a lot of proof that tax cuts have created growth. So if you go back, and this is a bipartisan thing, either in a Republican or a Democratic administration, in 2001, 2003 under Bush, they didn't. Post-financial crisis under President Obama, they didn't. So that's what a lot of the wrangling has been about. There's also been worries, of course, that these tax cuts will increase the deficit and not lower taxes on middle-class Americans that really need that break, you know, in order to start spending. Spending is what typically drives the economy. So that's what a lot of the wrangling's been about.
Here's one thing we know. We know for sure. You know, if you ever watch a TV commercial or you talk to your banker and they say, well, we're not going to make any forward-looking statements here. And that's what basically that's all they're doing is they're promising us forward-looking statements. Oh, we're going to give them this money back and they're going to spend trillions in the economy. It's going to be jobs. And it is really true that shareholders are probably going to benefit from this. Shareholders are taxpayers. So, you know, that may be in some way, you know, another way of siphoning off some of the money here. But if you're in Illinois, okay, so let's just talk about high tax states for a second.
Mm-hmm,
if they take away the state local deduction, which appears to still be gone, but now what about the property tax offset so that your first $10,000 in property tax payments, which affects, you know, the vast majority of Illinois taxpayers.
Right.
Will we still be able to write that off?
That's what it's looking like right now, that you are going to be able to get $10,000 still to write off. Of course, you know, that's less if you add in those state and local property taxes. They're meeting somewhere in the middle, but it's less than a lot of folks in higher tax states. Coastal states, you know, many Democratic states would have liked to have seen. And again, this is one of the things that folks have felt is rather skewed in this bill, the fact that it is going to hit certain parts of the country and sometimes not very Trump-friendly parts of the country harder than others.
Yeah, well, I think voters, that's if he's trying to win friends and influence people, make friends and influence people, this is not the way to do it. I mean, Alabama, right. I mean, let's face it, didn't get a win down there.
It seems like one of the consequences here also that I'm hearing as part of the tax plan, or both of the plans that they're going to be trying to compromise on, is going to show that the Obamacare mandate will likely go away, that tax on individuals who don't buy insurance. Is that what you're hearing? And that, to me, I guess the second part of that question would be, doesn't that all but guarantee you further destabilize the markets and going to have to figure out health care very quickly?
Well, this has been a big issue, not just for pretty much every Democrat, but for some Republicans. You know, Susan Collins, who's a Republican in Maine, has really been holding out, saying she's very worried about the idea of bringing health care into this tax bill. You know, I think that it would be a terrible thing to pull the rug out from under Obamacare. You know, healthcare emergencies are the reason that about a third of people in this country cycle in and out of poverty. You know, people just don't have the money to pay for a healthcare emergency. So that's why it was great that we got sort of a floor under folks with Obamacare. It's not perfect. You know, I personally would have liked to have seen a single payer option myself. I think that makes a lot of sense. And it's what every other rich country does, and they pay less and have better outcomes for healthcare than we do. But we may need another segment for me to go into that.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah,
it does seem that's part of it, that the Obamacare mandate will be going away with either plan or with any eventual compromise.
That's what it's looking like right now, although, you know, you never know what's going to come in last-minute horse trading.
Let's talk about that. What does last-minute horse trading look like here? They're talking about trying to get this done by next Wednesday or Thursday so they can get that signed before they go away. Because obviously, after when they reassemble in January, they'll be down one senator. when they swear in the guy from I've forgotten his name already, the guy from Alabama. All I know is he's not Roy Moore. And that's all the people in Alabama know too. He is a guy that will replace that seat. Now it doesn't
necessarily.
No. To Doug Jones. But the point is that you can't really afford more than two defections. You never know what John McCain's going to do.
Well, exactly. I mean, I have to say I was really disappointed. I had hoped that McCain would hold out in the House, in the Senate negotiations. He didn't, and that was a big loss, because once he went, a lot of Republicans followed with him. But as you point out, the margin is narrowing. Democrats are calling for the president to wait on this bill until Jones is seated. Of course, he wants to push it through as soon as possible. I mean, the bottom line here is Republicans do not want to go home to the midterm elections in the spring and say, hey, we got nothing done. We had a majority,
right.
Didn't get health care done, didn't get taxes through. So they've got a big impetus to try to push this through. There's also a hope that by cutting taxes on corporations, those corporations, as you pointed out, are going to put that money right back into the stock market themselves. They're going to buy back their own shares, which artificially jacks up the price of stocks. That seems great, but it's a sugar high, right? It doesn't create Main Street growth. It creates Wall Street growth. But the idea is, let's just keep the markets up until the midterm elections. And then, okay, maybe there's a big correction coming, but who cares? We will have kept the House and Senate by then. I think that that's the logic.
You also hear about the tax changes or the deductions for the middle class and people in general sunsetting, this plan to have them slowly go away, but the corporate ones stay intact. And I know some Republicans behind this plan say, don't worry about that. That's sort of a budget gimmick to try to meet financial goals, and then we're going to reassess and get back to that and not let them sunset. It seems like there's a lot of hope and prayer here that we're hoping that things work out well for us.
There is a lot of hope and prayer. I mean, that's what, I wrote a column actually calling this the Republicans' faith-based tax plan, because you really do have to take it on faith. There just isn't proof in the numbers in the last 20 years that this trickle-down tax cut and miraculously create growth and real jobs theory works. I'm very worried that the breaks last only for corporations. Really, that they have more wealth than they ever have had in history. They're not hurting, and they can move wherever they need to for growth. They can move jobs to different countries. They can move capital to different countries. People here on the ground cannot move. They don't have the flexibility. And I think that we're coming to the end of a recovery cycle. You know, we've been in a recovery now, if you can believe it, for almost a decade. And that's typically how long those cycles last. So I think we need to be getting ready for the next recession rather than thinking about how rosy things are going to be and cutting taxes on big corporations.
Unfortunately, Rana, I agree with you. I'm one of those, I go back to Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Everything I know about the Bible, I learned from Broadway. This whole idea of the drought is coming and, you have to save and you have to, good fiscal policy comes, believe it, that was in a musical. Good fiscal policy comes from this idea of maintaining as much balance as you can in your economics. And what we have here is we've got a political environment now and a political ecosystem that is just simply based on quick hit politics. It lives at the speed of light. It lives in the digital age. And so this president is a guy who, through his own personality and through his own habits and the way that he won, everything is about a lightning strike. And so he needs a lightning strike regardless of how the potential ramifications are going to be affected. Because, forget about it. No one can tell the future.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter. He just wants the wind so he can put it up on the board. And I think in terms of if you're going to recreate, this isn't like healthcare where it was 26% of the economy. This is the 100% of the economy that they are playing with here, not just a quarter of it. Oh, or 1/6 of the economy or whatever, 80%, whatever it was. They when they said, well, you're going to mess with that, you're messing with the whole thing. You got to get this right because this is really hard to do. You can't change tax policy every 2 or 4 years or 6 years. I mean, there's a reason it hasn't changed in 30 something years. So this is a big, big, big deal. I'd rather go slow and get it right and try to get some bipartisanship here and try to make some determination, because there are people in Illinois and Wisconsin, by the way, which is a high tax state, and the coastal states, as you're pointing out, that are going to their taxes are going up. And even though the president promised today when he had his press availability about this, and he brought families out to talk about how great the president was, there's a shocker, in February, you're going to start to see this change. If they can get this done next week, that in February, your paychecks are going to change on withholding for the, you know,
yeah,
theoretically
right.
for
well,
the better.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, you know, the silver lining to people who are not for this tax plan is that, yes, we are going to see the changes fast. We're going to feel them fast in our wallets. We may feel them before those midterm elections come.
Yep. Rana, thank you so much.
Thanks,
really
Rana.
Appreciate your time here.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Rana Ferrar. He said,
from
CNN and Financial Times. Here's Violetta. It's a Rokon show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. We've got, you know what, it's the time for, and we get right
it's
into
the top five on the Rokon Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we'll do that.
Let's go.
Checking in at
number five.
Bear high, shut him down. Bear high, shut him down. Bear high, shut him down.
All right.
Nobody likes fare hikes.
Nope. At CTA has a choice. Raise fares or cut service. It's part of a decision they're making that will go into their next budget. That's a $1.5 billion proposed operating budget. $1.5 billion.
Why are you talking like that?
It's just a lot of money. No. Back in my day, I remember when it was 20 cents to get on the CTA and you liked it. And you liked it, and maybe it broke down halfway down Michigan
Sometimes
Avenue.
Sometimes that happened.
We went in the back door and didn't even pay.
I remember when the accordion.
This is why they have
my day.
Wow. It comes back to you, Judy.
It's back in fault. My day, we held on to the back bumper and we just ran with it.
It's called skitching.
Yeah.
Your skateboards.
There is that great scene in one of the great Chicago movies of all times that is never spoken about. I sound like Donald Trump when I say this. Cooley High. It is an amazing Chicago film shot right here in Chicago during the era in which Mayor Daley did not want movies. The original Mayor Daley did not want movies shot here. And it's a great scene where the kids are getting on the back of a CTA bus and just riding it. Down the Armitage bus and just riding it west as far as it would go.
Just grabbed onto the back?
No, because it was a bumper. Unlike the bumpers of today, which are, it was like a regular metal bumper, you know, like you'd see on those, you know, like a guardrail. And they would just hold on to the guard, you know, they'd just stand on the guardrail, hold on to the side of the bus. Lauren Tilton Jacobs, by the way, in that fine
kind
film.
Kind of dangerous, but
yes.
At least it's free.
Yeah, it was free. You see, that's what I would suggest, by the way, is that people, if they don't want to pay the fare increase, just hold on to the back. Now, this is coming in time where both Metro and Pace have agreed to increase their fares as well. So there were a bunch of people holding signs and chanting and a group of transit advocates. And who knew there were such a thing? Apparently, you can buy any kind of protest you want in this town.
This is something to protest. I mean,
what the hell are you going to do about it? First of all,
I don't know, but it just seems like everything's going up.
But everything does go up.
Well, but salaries aren't going up, and that's the problem. So you got your property tax, you got the water tax, you got garbage, you add on tax after tax after tax after tax.
But CTA, kind of get though. I understand on those things, which are static costs, but they got to pay for the pensions that they overpromised to people. To get them to come work their jobs.
My grandma's complaining about the senior citizen discount. I'm like, when's the last time you took the bus, lady?
What's happening to the senior citizen discount?
They have to pay more. You know, back in her day, when she first entered.
Well, remember Robin Goyevich wanted to make it free? That was one of his campaign promises.
Speaking of holding onto a bumper to get into the country.
I know, right?
It works for the country just like the CTA.
Yeah, apparently it does, yeah. Anyway, but the CTA says, hey, we need the money.
We're also seeing more competition from ride sharing. So some of our riders that would have ridden trains or buses have switched to alternative service. That was definitely an option of last resort for us.
Yeah, well, that would be an argument to lower rates, but
yeah, I would think so too. Otherwise, you're going to, you know, raise your rates to the point where it makes more sense, more and more sense to take the ride sharing, and then you're out of business.
Did they say what the actual dollar is here?
Here it is. It goes from $2 to $2.25.
See, that's a screwed up situation because now it's that
bus fare is $2.25 to $2.50. 30-day passes go up by $5.
What's the $2.50 part?
It says the it's
the train
fare
bus
ride on Venture Card would go $2 to $2.25, and L and cash bus fares cash go from $2.25
to $2.50. Got it. So can you still pay cash at the bus?
I think you can, yes.
That was, by the way, that was an interesting problem that we did the story back in that back in my day.
Yeah, what happened? You wrote it on the typewriter?
This is a kind of, yeah, we did. I did type the story on the typewriter, handed it to Walter, and then he typed it again on his typewriter. And then we had to hand it to another guy who would like take the pieces of paper, tear them apart, and then put them in the teleprompter.
Gosh, those are way back days.
And the teleprompter looked like that thing at Burger King where you put it on a conveyor belt and it goes through, or like pot bellies, you know.
They
like
didn't
that,
really look high tech. Thing. I remember those too.
No, it was bad. Like, anyway, the point
this
here.
Works?
So here's the deal: when the fares started going up to like 75 cents and then to a dollar, mm-hmm. they didn't have a way by which to count cash, hard paper money. They could only do coins.
Oh boy.
So there were these rooms throughout the CTA L stations, including at Staten Lake, which was where the big room was, mm-hmm. that was filled to the rafters with single dollar bills.
One for you, one for me, one for you,
and
one for
no
me.
One was accounting for them.
Oh my gosh!
No one. It was
That's a recipe for Chicago disaster.
Of thousands of dollars per room, of singles, because they were like, oh, you know, they had coin machines, you know, like at CTA headquarters, they would, you know, they'd come pick up the coins and they would, you know, take them and they'd take them out and they would count them and do all that. And then have the money, but they didn't do anything with the dollars.
Two for me, one for you.
Yeah.
So was the subject of the story the fact that they were doing the wrong thing with the dollars, or just that there was no accounting?
Both. Well, we didn't know. We couldn't get the. We had no idea. If they were stealing, it was a guy walking up, opening up the door, grabbing a handful of cash and walking away. And they didn't have cameras down there back then.
Oh,
so who knew? We had no idea what was actually being stolen. But they were under. The story was they were under the express direction to take the cash and put it in this room.
Oh, jeez. Oh, gosh. What could go wrong?
Right.
Of course they were.
And then they want our money. Oh, wait.
Yes.
Hold on. Where's that protester? I'm with
him. Yeah, exactly. Now you're a transit or transportation advocate.
There's so many people in this city that can't afford that as it is now. They literally can't afford it. City has the money for Amazon. We think that money should be going to help people who need it.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well,
are you part of
you're
that
not
team?
With them
no,
anymore.
I'm not with them anymore.
Team transportation advocates?
No, I'm back off that. No, the money should be going to Amazon. Those are gigantic jobs, and you want people to be able to pay the property taxes. City's broke, people.
Yeah.
If you can't afford it, you're just going to have to get out.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
Just what it is.
Horrible.
Sorry.
What are you talking about?
Hey, I'm just telling you. Hey, this is
Team
the,
Suck It?
This
I mean,
is,
what is
yes,
this?
Yes, this is, you know, Trump rules. Can't afford it, get out of the country.
Get these poor losers out of here.
Get them out.
You're getting poor all over me.
I can smell the poor.
Stop touching me.
Oh, gosh.
Did the poor guy just look at me?
This is horrendous.
Get them all on the bus.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Anyway, we've gone too far.
Yeah.
The
point
is,
it was a joke.
The point is, there's not much we can do about the CTA and that, you know, you're asking for a quarter more. What are you going to do?
It's the first hike in 9 years, by the way.
Right.
But
things go on.
Everything's the first hike in 5 years or 7 years or nine. I mean, it just seems like everything right now is going up.
You know what we should do? I'll tell you. You know
what
we should do then?
Do,
we should tax the Uber more.
Okay. Fine.
Let's do that.
Especially
Good.
If they're bad at driving.
Yeah, bad driver tax. I still say the bikes have to get their license.
Yeah,
bikes.
Tax?
Bike license plates.
What's next? They're going to tax our soda and our pop?
Oh, I see what you did there. Can I move on now?
Fell flat.
I'm
Please.
Enough telling stories from the
good,
good
one,
old,
Kev.
The good old
nice.
Days. Although there are many, many a times in my life I've dreamed of that closet filled with cash.
You're like, if only.
And no one knew. And you could just, we had the key. You could have as much cash as you wanted.
The back door was open.
Behind the magic door.
Sadly, I'm sure too much of that stuff has been distributed into the wrong hands. Remember that John Quarters Boyle guy, the Illinois Toll Authority?
Yeah, who just recently was in the news again. who took the quarter. He was taking the big bags of quarters.
Convicted of stealing $4 million from the Illinois Toll Highway Authority in quarters.
Where was he going? Chuck E. Cheese?
Does she get the? Come on, she deserves the cheesy.
You get a bell for the cheese, and then the bell for the Chuck E. Cheese.
Millennials are 0-2.
All right, that's settled then.
Number four.
During comments on tax reform today, the president was asked by reporters about the Alabama election results and the impact on the Senate vote. Here's what he said.
I think it's very important for the country to get a vote next week, not because we lost a seat. Yeah, wish we would have gotten a seat. A lot of Republicans feel differently. They're very happy with the way it turned out. But I would have, as the leader of the party, I would have liked to have had the seat. I want to endorse the people that are running. But I will tell you that it's, to me, it's very, very, just very important to get this vote.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
On
he
tax reform.
He wants to get that in.
Wants to get it done by the end of the year. And next year's taxes would then take effect under the new plan, whatever that new plan may be, after the Senate and the House compromise.
Yes. All right. We're getting that now. Steve Bannon also reacted to the loss. You know, this was his guy. He didn't want to go with a guy named Strange. That seemed like an absolute rock solid choice.
Turned out not to be the strangest guy in the race.
Right. He wanted to go with the guy. And I have the sinking suspicion that this Bannon guy is a plant. I don't even know by whom.
A plant.
But yes, the whole thing is a bit. He's figured it out. He puts on the army jacket. He greases up his hair and he goes into these and he's decided he's going to single-handedly destroy the Republican Party. That is what his plan is, and he's going to do it by masquerading as a populist Republican. I think I've got this figured
out.
He
didn't come out of nowhere. He's kind of always been into this nationalistic, populistic thing.
Not when he was producing Seinfeld.
Wasn't he always politically kind of active and vocal about those kinds of things?
I think it's a plan.
All right.
I think it's a plan. Anyway, here is Bannon. Here is Bannon talking on there. Apparently, there's a SiriusXM show he's on every day.
Oh.
And here's his reaction. Let's just hear it.
One thing you got to give a hat tip to, the DNC came in here, slipped in here underneath the radar and did an amazing job of organizing, what's my favorite word, ground game.
Yes.
Right? Ground game. You got to, hey, you got to give the devil its due. I tell people every day, there's no magic wand. You're going to have to outwork people. If you get outworked, you're going to lose. And I got to tell you, their ability to get out votes, that's what it comes down to.
Okay. I'm telling you, the whole thing is a put on, and his whole plan is to destroy the Republican Party.
Did you see?
He's the Democrat's best friend. Now, here's a Peter King, mm-hmm. who is a New York, he's a bit of a bomb thrower, too, rhetorically. But
very outspoken.
Super conservative guy, big law and order guy, anti-terrorism guy. He's had nice things to say about Donald Trump. But Peter King's his own guy. As a congressman, he's not taking no guff from nobody. And here's what he thinks mm-hmm. of Steve Bannon and what he's done to the Republican Party.
You know, I was even raised this, not even so much as a political issue, almost as a moral issue. This guy does not belong on the national stage. He looks like some disheveled drunk that wandered onto the political stage. He does not represent anything that I stand for. I consider myself a conservative Republican. I consider myself an Irish Catholic. And he sort of parades himself out there with his weird alt-right views that he has. And to me, it's demeaning the whole governmental and political process. This summer, I called on the president to fire him from the White House. And I think last night in Alabama was not just a political statement. That was really just a revulsion by people at his style, at his type of divisive views, which were their political and governmental, whether he was involved in the White House trying to undercut the president on his foreign policy, whether he makes... encourages racial division. This is not the type of person we need in politics. And last night,
all right. So now, what's interesting? You know, I do like this. This is like the all or nothing world of politics.
Mm-hmm.
There were 1.2 million votes cast, almost 1.3. I think more than 1.3 million votes cast last night mm-hmm. in this, and it was about 21,000 was the differential. And we're acting like the entire state of Alabama voted for the Democrat. They didn't. And that's and the Republicans play the same, or the Trump administration, I should say, plays the same game, which is, you know, America has spoken. Actually, the more people voted against Donald Trump than voted for Donald Trump, right? So we have to always remember that this is a game of inches in America. America is a divided nation, and you need somebody, unlike the Steve Bannons of the world, who are going to try to find coalescent moments, not dividing moments. Because the more we divide and the more that we play to people's hatreds and mistrusts and insecurities and envy and all those things, the weaker our country becomes, the more dangerous our country becomes. And these guys are playing it, and no one is standing up for creating division, because now, you know, you got Democrats are like, yeah, we won. Oh, yeah, look, now Alabama's a Democratic state. It is not.
That's a hard seat to hang on to.
Right. Well, even at that, I mean, even let's just assume that's true. That's hard to hold on to. You still have very striking divisions. You had 650,000 people last night vote for the guy who's accused of being a molester.
Yeah.
Right. Those are 650,000 people went. Yeah. And 680,000 people essentially went for the other guy. They don't even know who he is.
They probably just wanted to not have more. A lot of them. But Bannon's kingmaker status has certainly been tarnished by all of this, because he was up there in front campaigning for more.
Yeah.
Pushing him.
With that army coat on. And well, wasn't he in the Navy?
I think he was. Yeah, his military past. Sure.
Does have military. Was in the Navy. All right. Here is Violetta. Right. With the WGN Term Control Spots. I knew that was coming.
I know you did.
Then there's this. Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN TV. Your pick just might be Chicago's Best.
Top five continues. We're up to
number three.
Library of Congress announced this year's 25 selections for addition to the National Film Registry. This is always good. These are motion pictures of, quote, cultural or historic and or aesthetic importance. You know, it's in government, they always have to the and or. It's an and slash or.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't want to say and because that could offend some people. All right. Here we go. What are they? You want to know the answer?
Yes.
All right. I'll tell you what the answer is as soon as I figure it out myself. Field of Dreams.
If you build it, he will come.
Hey, Annie. Annie, what was that?
What was what?
That voice just now. What was it?
We didn't hear anything.
If you build it, he will come.
Oh, God. That always creeped me out, man.
Kind of dead, but great film. Totally belongs.
And the original Christopher Reeves Superman.
Why are you here? There must be a reason for you to be here.
Yes. I'm here to fight for truth and justice in the American way.
You're going to end up fighting every elected official in this country.
That, of course, wasn't the first Superman of all times, but it was, you know, that was the...
Yeah, the Christopher Reeve version with my favorite Lois Lane.
And then our own Brian Altimer couldn't be happier about this. Die Hard.
You have me at a loss. You know my name, but who are you?
Just another American who saw too many movies as a child. Another orphan of a bankrupt culture who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo, Marshall Dillon.
I was always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
Nicely done, nicely edited.
Yes, and I gotta say, a ton of fun. And that's, you know, gotta remember, Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Just remember that.
Forget
so
that.
When you're sitting around and you're thinking, hey, should we watch It's a Wonderful Life? No, how about Die Hard? Try that on for size. Kaboom! Yippee-ki-yay.
Love Actually, still my favorite pick.
All right, and let's see.
Number two.
Now, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced its inductees for next year. The Cars. All right, how about the Moody Blues?
Nights in white satin, never reaching the end.
Nina Simone.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel.
Wow.
Very nice.
That's not one I would have anticipated. And it doesn't immediately spring to mind. And
no.
Yet.
Beautiful.
Totally deserving. And then This is probably going to make you happy.
What's that?
Because there is just a thing about the ladies and the Bon Jovi.
Oh, yeah. She says we gotta hold on to what we've
got. It doesn't make a difference if we make it or not. Every wedding band in America knows you got to have at least one Bon Jovi song in your playlist if you want to get people on the dance floor.
He is so great.
This one. All right, and finally, oh, you're going to like this.
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
America's biggest Jay Cutler hater.
Stephen A. Smith.
Will not give any credit to Jay Cutler for beating your beloved Tom Brady and the New England Patriots on Monday night.
I just knew that somebody was going to bring up Jay Cutler. I'm never going to accuse a Bill Belichick team of overlooking anybody per se and just not giving effort. That's not what I'm going to accuse them of. But to walk into a game assuming that it's really not going to be that much of a stiff competition because Jay Cutler's on the other side of the football, I think that's a reasonable thing to assume because it's Jay Cutler, for crying out loud. But in the end, what it comes down to is it's pretty hard to take things with a max level of seriousness when your opponent is Mr. Jay Cutler.
That's true.
Jay Cutler! Where are my curly fries, Jay Cutler?
I don't think he'd help you with that. Total shock that they won, absolutely. And a shock that he kind of seemed like he stayed in the game and didn't look like he was totally mentally detached.
I want to tell you something. Although, during the game, the announcers did have to make the point that Jay Cutler is often seen as disinterested in what's happening
yes,
on the field.
They did. To which all Bears fans shook their head and go, yeah, you know what? That's true.
All right, let's close this thing up.
The top five at five.
Hang all the mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you better. This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, fireside blazing bright.
Great, hold on, this is the best part coming up.
We're caroling through the night.
Purest voices in soul, Donny Hathaway. All right, you know what? I guess we're going to start. Does this mean this is the way that Brian, our musical producer, mm-hmm. the man who makes all the sound that you hear on this program, whether it's a novelty song
yeah.
or it's the music that you hear, all of it, he just gives us our lyrical. He's our rhythm section.
He's a genius, quite frankly.
And
sonic genius.
He did give us he's given us. Wait till you hear us on our Christmas special.
He makes it because I thought our rehearsal went terrible. By the way, yesterday I didn't really think we didn't have it together except the part that Brian produced for us will save us. I think in the end.
Yeah, that part sounds really cool.
It really sounds good.
That's the only thing that we have going for it. Now, here's what's happening on the Holiday Spectacular, which is going to be Friday from 10 to noon. All the shows are doing, skits. I think that, for lack of a better term.
Some people are singing, dancing, or just singing.
Yeah, dancing on the radio, not as exciting. Although we could claim we're dancing.
Yeah.
I'm a great ballroom dancer on the radio, in case anybody's asking.
I bet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you are.
It's a live review reminiscent, it says here, of the popular variety shows of the past. It is?
Okay. I guess.
Yeah.
It features co-hosts Bill Leff and Domiti Pongo.
Mm-hmm.
Plus all your
great.
Favorite WGN radio hosts. That would be
you guys.
They said favorite. So that means Cochran and John Williams. But you know what? We know what you mean.
We're in there too.
There will be seasonal songs and stories and Yuletide poetry. Oh, we're supposed to do a poem, aren't we?
No.
Roses are red, violets are blue.
Once was a man from Nantucket.
No.
Oh, I thought last
night.
That
was optional.
So last night we had a rehearsal for this. And we had a table read, as they call it.
A really cold table read.
And so we all sat in another studio, in the rehearsal studio.
Some of us need to study our lines a little bit better.
I had no idea we had a rehearsal studio here, but we do. And
I like how everyone came prepared, having studied their lines in advance. Like, is that my line?
I never saw the lines.
So we went through it a couple of times, and
stumbled through it a couple of times.
It was it's going to be great. That's all I'm going to say. But there's so much production around it. I think it's just going to sing. So tune in from 10 until noon on Friday. Bill Levin, Domi Tupango hosting this. It's going to be amazing. All brought to you by American Sale. For the Christmas tree lights and holiday decor you've been looking for, search AmericanSale.com. It's going to be great, especially the Steve Cochran part. I don't know about us.
I think the production around ours is amazing and will save us. Kind of like the way auto-tune saves a bad singer, you know? It's going to work.
There will be special cameo performances by Tom Skilling and Bill Curtis.
Oh, great.
And the party also stars retro rock and roll band. Rock and roll, he said, not knowing that those two words go together.
Country and Western.
Rosie and the Rivets.
Hey, Bill Curtis, by the way, little note there. He, according to Robert Feeder, he got married today to Donna LaPietra, his longtime partner. So congratulations to them.
Wow. That's amazing.
They've
been together for decades.
Yeah, lovely people.
I think it has to do with the new tax proposal. I think it has to do with it.
Or maybe the new CTA.
Tax, right, CTA.
If you go as a couple on the CTA, can you share the Venture Pass and get a discount?
Wow, that's really interesting. They're great. They're a great couple. They're one of the great partnerships I've ever had the pleasure to be around. And yet, they were not married.
I know. Well, that might be telling us something.
And now they're married.
Mm, how nice. Congratulations to them. That's awesome.
Both truly lovely people. Truly.
Mm-hmm. Very talented.
All right. So let me. The other thing I wanted to mention from last night's rehearsals, then afterwards we did our gift giveaway to each other.
Mm hmm. Gift exchange.
I already used one of my gifts.
Oh, God. Which one?
The As Seen on TV gifts that we exchanged.
The hover cover. It's awesome.
Oh, okay. I thought you used the ear cleaner.
You're welcome, Kevin.
No, I traded with Judy. I got the hover cover from
her. I used the ear cleaner. It did not work. So I don't have any wax in my ear.
Right,
that's what I'm thinking.
Right, your ears are clean.
But has anyone used the toilet bowl
Here's the funny thing, is that everybody went to Walgreens or wherever you can get the Essie on TV section. Target's got it too, right?
Yeah, Walmart.
Bed Bath & Beyond has a huge section.
That's where I went.
Right. So the Essie on TV section. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is that almost everybody bought the toilet light, which tells you everything you need to know about where this show's mind is at.
God. True.
And it's a toilet bowl light that apparently has a motion detector, so it can tell if you're, you know.
Yeah, you don't
your
miss,
mood.
You don't ever miss the seat, and you don't have to turn on the light in the middle of the night. And so, and then you can turn it purple if you want, or blue.
Yeah, seven yellow colors.
Yeah.
The hover cover, by the way, is this thing that sits in your microwave, and you place it over your plate and has vents in it, so you don't have to put a paper towel over your food, and it prevents all the splattering in your microwave.
But what's the best part of it, Kevin?
I don't know. What's the bad came from
maybe
you?
Maybe you don't know. It sticks to the top of
the
microwave.
Oh, yeah, the magnet part. You just put it on the top.
Come on. That's so cool.
Oh, that is a cool part, because normally you have to go in there, pick it up.
Right.
Yeah. Okay,
I thought that would be perfect for someone lazy like you.
Me? Lazy?
Well, okay, maybe that was a harsh word.
That was harsh, Judy. But the hover
someone who just
awesome.
Moved out of his mom's house. How about that?
Highly recommend the hover cover.
See, this is exactly how the rehearsal went last night.
I let that go because
this is exactly what it sounds like. You know, when everybody's just fighting with each other. But that's my line. No, that's your line.
Yeah.
What about your line?
Everyone was yelling at me.
I would like to point out that Ro was very generous, and Hugh bought several gifts.
Which was good.
We were only supposed to buy one, so that's why I walked home with three.
Yeah, I decided to buy one for everybody and see what happened.
And how did you like yours, Ro? Because that was kind of cute.
I got the Snuggie.
You got the Snuggie. And I noticed you weren't going to let that go.
No, I was holding on to the Snuggie. I have coveted a Snuggie for many years.
Wow.
Because this is really right up my alley.
And it was just so close, as far as Walgreens.
Although the Snuggie, when you figure about it, the one thing I puts me in the holiday mood is the Snuggie, because Ebenezer Scrooge was basically wearing a Snuggie, wasn't he, during the entire...
Mm-hmm. Good point.
You could walk out to your architect deck row wearing nothing but your Snuggie and a cup of coffee.
So funny you should mention that.
Let's not forget this is a plaid
please
Snuggie with like...
and green an open and bag.
Yeah, it's got an opening. Don't walk out there naked.
You need to put a belt on it if you're going
to do that.
It's
his property.
Yeah, I did. I looked
a Santa belt.
I looked like an escape patient last night. So I put on the Snuggie, and I had to go do something out on it. Now it was very cold. It was like 18 degrees outside last night.
What did you have to go do on the deck?
Well, there was a light that had gotten the wind had blown the light and it was facing in the wrong direction. So I'm looking at it, and I'm so OCD about that stuff. Mm-hmm. I was looking at it. I gotta go fix that. I gotta make that light point where it's supposed to point. Mm-hmm. And so,
the Snuggie will keep me warm.
And I had the Snuggie on, and not a whole lot else. You know what I mean? And so I thought, and I'm watching the Alabama results coming in. Mm-hmm. You know,
then you're Snuggie.
Great look,
right? And I'm down in my little basement area off the deck where I can or whatever that is, the first floor. And I get off the couch. I didn't realize, by the way, the Snuggie didn't have a back. I had no idea that was.
Oh, it's like a hospital gown.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, you got to get it on somehow. Yeah,
I thought it fully covered you.
It does.
Pulled it over your
head. When you lay
I think
down,
it's supposed to be in the front. Isn't
no, I
it?
Thought it was like a poncho. You pull it up over your head.
No, it's like
you wear it from the front.
A backwards jacket.
Right. Yeah. It has like sleeves, so that's the whole point. Like, so your arms are covered and your hands can
it's
just hold
blanket
it.
It's a blanket with arms.
Yeah.
So you can get your arms out of the blanket. It's basically what it is.
Yeah.
So
okay, now it's really creepy.
The back's
but don't you
open.
Lose heat then if it's open?
Well, you're
well,
lying
you're
down
on
your.
You're
most
lying.
People don't go out to their deck in the middle of the night wearing.
Right.
No,
this,
put
Snuggie,
the light the right way.
The Snuggie is not meant for for a lot of ambulation. The Snuggie is meant for lying around.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this is really bothering me. So I get out there, and it's kind of icy and everything out there. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, a cold wind goes blowing. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, right up, right up Broadway.
Did you hear other people going, oh, my God?
I made sure no one was out there. I didn't want anybody to see me in the Snuggie. But Then I really, there was other stuff that was out there when I was there, and I'm like, oh, I got to do this. There was like, branches and stuff, and there was something that should have been inside that was outside. And I'm out there, and when you have the Snuggie, you can't hold the thing closed in the back. Mm-hmm. So basically, I got my very bare keister out.
And it's kind of long, so I could see you tripping over it
a little bit. And I had to, hold it up and then,
like a dress.
Yeah, you dress it like a dress and then, running around, moving the light. And then I thought, I hope this thing is inflammable because this light is super hot. All right, here is Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. It's another edition of News or Ruse.
Our favorite game.
We have three lucky contestants. We're going to luckily be playing with Mr. Lucky, as we call him, Jim Cornelison.
Yes.
I don't know why we call him that, but we do.
I didn't know I was called that.
Yeah, he is.
No one else did either.
We're going to test it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. We'll find out. Because this is really a game not really of skill, of luck. Let's be honest, because God knows when we... do you understand what this game is?
Jeff, give me a quick rundown.
Quick rundown? Right? Yeah, good luck to you
it's
on that.
It's mindless, right?
Yeah, it's mindless.
Just don't overthink it.
And gutless. It's a lot of things. But Jim Cornelison, of course, if you go to Hawks games, you see him singing the national anthem, one of the most stirring renditions you'll ever hear of that. And with those whatever it's going to be on any given night, but it's always 22,000 folks, roughly.
Yeah.
Screaming. I'm still, to this day, I'm still not sure how you're able to maintain the concentration there.
It's cheering. Ro is cheering, man. It's a positive thing. Screaming sounds more like, a horror movie.
Yeah.
This is this is just such a positive thing. I love being part of it. Well, it gets loud. You got to focus.
It's one of the most memorable parts of the game. And when you bring little kids, too, it stirs you when you sing. It totally does. It becomes just one of the moments.
I had friends in from out of town a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, all right, you got
to be there for
it. We were getting in late to the stadium. I go, before we get anything, we got to get, you got to get down. We stood in the aisle because you got to see the national anthem because it's not like anywhere else.
It's so true.
And I know a lot of stadiums have their traditions. Boston's got kind of an interesting one. There's a couple around the country that are pretty cool. But around the continent, I should say.
Well,
I
think I got the best venue.
Without,
period.
Without question.
And it's unifying. It's not about the Hawks per se. It's about our military guys. It's about American and old, young men, women. military first responders. And you know what? I've even, and it's across all racial lines, mm-hmm. all like, you know, it's, that's not a surprise to anybody. What might be is, you know, I'll get Facebook, Twitter, email stuff from people. I've gotten Bangladesh, Germany, England, of course, Canada, a lot.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And these people make a point of telling me that they're not American, but they just think this is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's neat.
Yeah, I still stand there at rapt attention because it might. I still imagine my dad hitting me in the side of the head if I moved during the national anthem. So it's just not allowed in my household. Mm-hmm. All right, to move or to sing or to make noise or do anything, you're gonna stand there. You're gonna stare at that flag, and you're not even gonna blink. You understand that, soldier? And I'm like, or airman, as he would call me. And I'm like, I don't know. He made us refer to him as Colonel. Anyway, the Colonel, like he was some sort of Southern Colonel.
Is that the Great Santini, huh?
Yeah,
it's kind of like the Great Santini.
Except he wouldn't use the basketball on my forehead. It was
At least he spared you that.
All right, here is the here's the deal. It's news. By the way, you've brought this is very interesting, Jim. Mm-hmm. You're going to do a little Christmas music for us coming up in just a few minutes.
Yeah.
But you brought Frank Catalano with you, who is an award-winning, very famed sax player.
Yeah.
And you two are going to be teamed up together to do this version of News or Ruse. Frank, I hope you're prepared for this.
I've been practicing all day.
Yes, who hasn't?
How do you practice for this game?
Carefully.
It's impossible.
All right, here's what the winners are going to get. A pair of tickets to Potted Potter, the hit Harry Potter parody featuring all 7 Harry Potter books in 70 hilarious minutes. Now playing at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower. Please visit BroadwayInChicago.com for tickets and a gift card for 3 to Baker Square.
Nice.
How about that? Yeah. For 3 pies, I should say. Gift card for 3 pies.
Just
for 3
what I
people.
Need.
This holiday, serve your family the best pie in America. Baker Square holiday French silk, yes. Candy cane. Come in. Visit bakersquare.com to order yours. And then the runners-up get that as well. A gift card for 2 pies at Baker Square. How about that? All right.
So everybody wins.
Everybody's a winner.
Yes,
all right, here we go. Let's meet our contestants right now. Jimmy is playing with Judy. Tara is playing with Violetta, and Ken gets to play with Jim and Frank. All right.
Nice.
Let's get started. Jimmy, you there?
I'm here.
All right. Here's your headline, Jimmy and Judy. Court rules zoo can't let kids swim with crocodiles anymore.
I got to say that's a ruse.
Ruse? Okay. Let's go for it. Nice, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's...
Out of the gates. You let her down.
By the way, Jim and Frank,
Jimmy,
I just want to point
win,
this out.
But I
this
don't want to lose.
Not how you treat the contestant. I just,
yes.
just want to make it perfectly clear.
I was going to tell Jimmy you don't treat Judy that way.
I don't like losing.
Yeah, I just that's not how you do that. All right, that's a.
All right.
I'll put my headphones back
Thanks.
On.
Let's see if Tara and Violetta do well with this headline. Here you guys, girls, go. That's my son, says mom of streaker arrested at Bills game.
That's my boy.
That's my son.
I say news.
All right. News. You got it.
That's very well done.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Ken with Jim and Frank. Here you go. Ken, if you can forgive Roy Moore, you can vote for me, declares city council candidate accused of misdemeanor public nudity.
Well, that has to be news.
You think that's a real one? What do you think, Frank?
Absolutely.
All right.
I agree.
All right. Let's go for it.
It totally sounded true, didn't it?
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't think that guy wanted to run anyway. It was a bar bet. He wanted to lose.
Jimmy and Judy, here's your headline.
All right, girls. Guys, here you go. Most flyers. Guys and gals. Most flyers feel airline crews treat first class passengers better.
Well, duh. What do you think, Jimmy?
News.
That's news.
That is correct. All right, Tara and Violetta, here you go. Russia registers Made in Prison trademark.
Oh, my God. I'm going to say news.
Okay, news.
Oh, you're really helpful, Violetta. I like this. Violetta is literally, she's like hanging
she
on for
attention.
Dear life. She's sketching on this particular.
What?
That is correct. Yes, you are
you
right.
Got it.
I just believe in her. She doesn't need me.
Okay, right. Whatever. Am I still playing this game?
Yeah, are we playing? Ken and Jim and Frank, here is your headline. New Kaju shower gel not named after Kim Jong-un, insists Unilever. How'd I do?
That's
new
KJU.
KJU, I'm sorry.
Not
new
you.
KJU shower gel not named after Kim Jong-un, insists Unilever.
Very well done. That was better the third time. All right.
Can I do it again? No,
no, here we go. Is that news or ruse?
I'm thinking if it's that hard to pronounce, that it's probably news.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's news, too, because it's just weird enough that somebody may have said something, read that into it, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All right, news.
Yes, it is. Thank God we're going to repeat it again.
That's good. All right, so now here's the situation as we head into the Orient Samuelson round coming up after the traffic. We got Jimmy and Judy and Ken playing with Jim and Frank. They have one right. Tara and Violetta. Despite Violetta's disinterest, she has Jay Cutler-esque disinterest.
Yeah, but I
show.
Won.
Yeah.
Or I could win.
And the same look on it. By the way, in that game on Monday night, did you notice they came back from halftime? And Jay Cutler, when they were talking about that.
Yes. How he's disinterested. There's always a moment.
He was talking out of the side of his mouth, and then he belched at the end of the sentence, which can happen.
I mean, this has got to be the meanest thing you've said to me.
It is, probably. It Thanks. Probably is. But listen, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is.
The points speak for themselves.
The style is working because Tara and Violetta are in the lead, and we'll find out
nice
who's
going
to win this thing on the other side. But first, here's Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today.
It's another edition of News or Ruse, and we are our celebrities today. We couldn't be more thrilled to have them. Jim Cornelison, who, of course, we know from one of the great stadium singers of all time. He does a rendition of the national anthem that is just never, ever, ever to be forgotten. It's chill-inducing.
Yes.
And Frank Catalano's with him, who is a very famed saxophonist, and they're actually going to do a Christmas song for us. They got an upcoming album this spring, and they're very excited to talk about that with us coming up in just a few minutes. But right now, here's the deal. Jimmy and Judy have one right. Ken, playing with Jim and Frank, also have one right. This is the Orion Samuelson round. The Radio Hall of Famer Orion Samuelson reads the headline. Decide if it's news or it's ruse. We're going to have both of them go first because Tara and Violetta already have two right. If they don't get one right, this game is over. Over. I don't want to put any pressure on you, Judy, but this could be it for you.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
All
I wasn't paying attention.
Jimmy, stand by. Here is your headline.
Dead possum covered with road paint draws laughs.
Aww. Well, it's just a dumb headline, first of all.
Yeah, okay.
Jimmy, I hate losing. What do you think?
I say ruse. There's nothing funny about a dead possum.
Yeah, I kind of think it's a ruse, too.
And let me just say this.
I don't trust him.
Goodbye, Judy. And let me say one other thing. You're right, and that may be the new slogan of the show. There's nothing funny about a dead possum. Thank you very much. Hey, listen, you're getting the Baker Square. Gift certificate, which is really awesome. So you hang in there. We'll get all your information, Jimmy. All right, here we go. Ken, Jim and Frank, you got to get this right. Otherwise, Tara and Violetta don't have to do anything here. They just go right into the winner's circle.
That sounds wonderful.
Oh, we don't need that. Yeah. Listen, again, she doesn't care. She does. Tara, I would file a complaint with the News or Ruse Commission here. Roger Goodell, by the way, is also part of his new deal.
Yeah.
He's got to be the News or Ruse Commissioner I think you've been mistreated here, but that's a separate issue. All right, here we go. Ken with Jim and Frank. Here is your headline.
Supermassive black holes feed on cosmic jellyfish.
That was the name of my first album, by the way.
Yeah, it sounds like the name of an album. Ken, do you have any instinct on that?
I do not, as Orion Samuelson would say.
Frank, do you have an idea on that headline?
If I heard it right, it said cosmic jellyfish?
Yes. Super. Let me read that to you in non-Orion. Supermassive black holes feed on cosmic jellyfish.
I just don't I see don't how there know. Can be cosmic jellyfish.
All
That's
right.
My,
News or Ruse, gentlemen?
News, you think?
What do you say, Ken?
What do you think, news?
Well, I'll go with whatever you decide. I'm passing the buck.
Video news.
There you go.
Nice.
Hey, stays in.
Nice.
How about that?
Very well done.
What's a cosmic jellyfish?
Who the hell knows?
The question.
An Italian-led team of astronomers used the MUSE, multi-unit spectroscopic explorer, to
find the jellyfish.
To study how gas can be stripped from galaxies, and they focused on extreme examples of jellyfish galaxies. Apparently, it's a galaxy.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
Okay.
Science.
Too bad that, yeah, we are too.
Can we have more detail?
All right, Tara and Violetta, here is your headline.
Middle children make great lovers, but undependable friends, according to a study.
I think that's a ruse.
I think it's news.
Okay, well, this is my first time participating, so let's not listen to me.
Why bother?
So let's go news. Oh, Tara.
Oh, Violetta. The first time she actually wakes up, she gets it right.
It's kind of like Cutler. That is Cutler-esque.
Yeah,
you know?
It was. All right, here we go. Back to the live headlines. Back to Ken with Jim and Frank. Man sets mom's house on fire after arguing over laundry.
Gee.
Oh, God.
I could believe that.
I think I know someone that did that. I'm not sure.
Who are you hanging out with, Frank?
All right, news or ruse?
I'm going with news.
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 Yes. Hey. Well done. It was in Vegas, just in case that's where your friend was. I don't know.
Can I say, as a middle child, I was really hoping that last headline
was
true.
Me too. I'm a middle child.
No, but the middle children
friends
are better at being friends.
Well, it's the other part that I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
Well. Oh. Gotcha. All right, do we get Tara and Violetta? Here's your headline. Angry shoppers shut down Florida market after seedless avocados sell out in 20 minutes.
That sounds like news, but what do you think?
Really? That sounds like news?
Wow. Wow. It went from being disinterested to downright surly, which is really something.
No, sorry.
Everything all right in there?
Yeah.
Getting enough sleep? Are you hydrated?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, I don't think an avocado...
Sounds like news, huh?
I don't think an avocado could be seedless, but...
All right, news or ruse?
Let's go news. Tara, you are right. I'm trusting your instinct. News.
Oh, God.
That is a terrible mistake. See, now this is really... Oh. Well, you know what? That does it. That does it.
No, it doesn't. Let's do another one.
Yes, Ken.
You got
Jim
it, guys. Well done, gentlemen.
Yay.
Yeah.
We all won the same thing, though, right?
Well, they won. They all got the Baker Square.
Yeah, the three pies.
Three pies.
For the holidays. And then the people who came in second and third got the two pies.
Right?
We never win anything.
And then also the Potted Potter tickets. The nice. Harry Potter parody, which is at Water Tower Place right now. Visit BroadwayInChicago.com for tickets. All right, so there
nice.
You go.
Very
well, congratulations.
Nice. Congrats, all right.
Congrats, Ken.
Nice, so, Ken.
Thank you. Thanks for the help, guys. Go Hawks.
All go right. Hawks.
Hold on 1 second, Ken.
All right.
And I'm not going to tell Orion you made fun of him. All right. let us now take a short time out. Then we'll mm-hmm. do Judy's news. And then Jim's going to stick around with Frank, and they're going to play a little Christmas music for us and tell us about the album that's coming up. And they've got a pretty cool track that they've also done that's a little something that's on the YouTube right now because
wow.
Jim has a kind of a significant announcement that he's going to make
Ooh.
On the other side as well.
Stay
so
tuned.
Stay right here. But first, Judy's got the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes. Us right here on 720 WGN. Those are the dulcet tones of Frank Catalano, along with Jimmy Chamberlain. You might have heard of Jimmy Chamberlain. He's with that, damn it, what's the hell's the name of that band? what is it? That one with the guy with the bald head. What's his
Which
name?
Which one?
Yes, the Smashing Pumpkins. Frank Catalano, along with Jimmy Chamberlain and David Sanborn. What has he ever done? this is it's a EP essentially, right?
That's a full album. It's got six songs, but the songs, because they're jazzy and improvised, are each about 10 minutes, so it's about an hour or so worth of music.
Wonderful.
And you've got art, the cover art of this, which is really cool.
My buddy Tony Fitzpatrick.
One of the greats, man. Yeah. One of the great Chicago artists, Tony Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
This is a This is a jazzy, and I say hipster in the most positive way I possibly can. A jazzy hipster kind of jazz kind of record man.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to have to credit you, hipster jazz. That's a really cool. Yeah. I've not heard that.
I like the ring.
That's going to be
it.
My new hashtag, I think.
And you've got the performance tonight, the Green Mill.
I'm going to do the late show at the Green Mill, which my wife and I bought an apartment in Greenwich Village, so we're in New York a lot now. Yeah. So I don't do them as regularly, but this whole month, every Wednesday, we're around for Christmas and partying. So
the man is a saxophone genius.
Absolutely.
He is not. He's a chart topper, radio chart topper in jazz music. So there's nothing we can do. And also, number one iTunes, right? Wasn't this a
that one? Yeah, it was number one on iTunes and the Billboard Jazz Chart. Whole series has done really well. This is the third one.
Frank is humble, but you can imagine being 17 or 18 years old and being called by Tony Bennett. Or he gets a call from Oprah to come out on the show. You know, they need somebody to fill in right away. Miles Davis, John Legend.
Miles Davis.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the who's who of the music world. Lou Rawls.
Miles Davis calls and goes, hey, Frank, could you teach me a thing or two about music, about jazz riffs? All right, now, so Frank is, and that, of course, that voice is almost, Jim Cornelison, you can't miss his voice when you hear it. These two guys have teamed up now. They're working on an album. That they're going to be doing in the spring. And let me just say this, that they're going to do a Christmas song for us as well. But they also, this Frank has got, I'm sorry, Jim has just been announced you tell us. I don't want to give it away. You should do it.
Well, it's
the big reveal.
It's a great honor, right? I'll be back next year for back home again in Indiana at the Indianapolis 500.
There you go.
Awesome.
Which, of course, is a massive, massive venue. And that is, that's the culmination of the whole pre-race festivities. Uh-huh. They literally came and grabbed my arm when I finished last year. Said, come on, we got to get off the track. As I'm walking off the track, they're saying, gentlemen, start your engines, So
And you're like, I really do have to get off the track.
Seriously, that's like Goosebumps stuff.
It's so
dream
cool
come true.
To be part of that. And, like with the Blackhawks being the anthem is the culmination of the pregame, right? Then it's drop the puck, right. Well, it's the same thing with back home in Indiana. And it's just so cool to be a part of that. That great sporting event in that way.
Oh, it must be cool because that is really, that's the start of summer, right? Summer is upon us when the Indianapolis 500 happens. And, as kids, it was a gigantically important event. And Jim Nabors was very famously was the guy that would come out and sing that. And Jim Nabors, you'd like, hey, that's the guy from the Andy Griffith reruns, right? Or from, Gomer Pyle. And so he had the funny talking voice, but then he had the singing voice. He would do that. And so that's something that's really very much in the cultural zeitgeist, right? That notion of him. And now it's you. That's got to be goosebump like city right there.
Well, it's awesome. And, just being back, there's a strong possibility I'll be the next guy. I don't know that 100%. I don't have a contract that says I am. But
hey, you are, as far as I'm concerned. If they need a reference, have them call me. I'm all over this. All right. Well, let's listen a little bit to Back Home in Indiana. We got this, too.
Back home again in Indiana, and it seems that I can see the gleaming candlelight still shining bright through the sycamores for me.
Ah, the candy kind of
sends all its fragrance from the field. About the moonlight on the Wabash, then I long for my Indiana home.
Oh my God, that's gonna be number one in Indianapolis. There's no question about it.
Sure,
think about it. That's
really
I'm telling
cool.
you, that could be the new state. That could be like the new. I guess it would be the new charts for the Indiana State song. It is the Indiana State song, right? Isn't it? Isn't it?
Yes.
It's Indiana anthem.
So we did that thing as kind of a sugar cube just around the race. We thought it would be really fun to put it out there. Obviously, that's not how
it's
I
perfect.
Sing it at the race. And Frank does a great little solo in that, right? That we just faded away from. But he does a great little solo in the middle of that, where it's just a way for us to get out and do something fun.
It's really fun.
And can we find that solo again? Now I feel bad.
Yeah, no,
I got out of the
solo.
I want to hear that song. Give me back the solo.
Don't wave him off, Frank. I think you should do it. You're too humble.
Let's hear it.
All right, we can be done now. Jim, sing it again. Hey.
Don't dump out that quickly like you wanted to.
I think that the saxophone is the sexiest of all instruments. It is, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing more urban and American than the sound of the saxophone.
It does something to you, doesn't it?
Right.
I think so. I think you get so many different colors from it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can make it sound harsh. You can make it sound mellow. You can loud. It can kind of scream the way like mm-hmm. Frank makes it do that a little bit.
Well, it's definitely my favorite instrument.
It better be.
I'm a true believer in Frank's talent. I've been around world-class musicians my entire adult life. And being around somebody who can improvise him, you want a minute, you want 5 minutes, hey, he'll go. And there's such a depth of resources, mental resources, musical resources that he can draw on. He can just play and play and play. And it seems like the longer he plays, the more exciting it gets. I love it.
Frankie, when did you start? What's your inspiration? What's the beginning for you?
Well, actually, my neighbor had a saxophone in their garage, so I was probably 6 or 7, and I just borrowed it and started messing around on it. And then my mom rented me one, maybe like third grade, like, 8 or 9 years old or so.
That is a parent right there. That's like a hockey mom right there, because that's suffering.
My mom's probably listening right now. Yeah. She's the best. So, very cool. But yeah, so.
Did you have to do marching band and all that, or did you stay away from that?
I did a little bit of marching band, and that wasn't necessarily my favorite, but I liked it. But pretty much by the time I was 14, 15, I was already kind of touring with people and playing. So I missed a lot of school, but I always liked
it's worked out.
I didn't have to do the marching band and this and that, but I did some of it, and that was even fun. So
Frank, did you really borrow that saxophone? Did you ask if you could borrow it? Did you ever give it back?
There's a hole in that story
I
somewhere.
And I gave it back, and then my mom rented me one. They borrowed it, or they let me use it, but then they wanted it back so that they could sell it. And I'm just like, well, geez, I'd like to get it, but it was, a decent saxophone is kind of pricey. Uh-huh.
How much for a good saxophone?
Well, Yamaha makes these for me, and they've always been cool, and they give them to me, so I don't know what they actually cost.
Oh, that's nice. Right.
I just want to say this.
Frank.
I just want to say this. When Yamaha's calling you up and saying, we're going to give you a $2,000 saxophone, you know you're good because they want you out there with the saxophone. They want you. They want to go, hey, Frank Catalano playing our saxophone. That's pretty amazing stuff.
It is.
All right. So you know what we'll do? We'll break down here for the traffic, and then we'll come back and we'll do the Christmas song, and we'll do it live. Do it live.
Nice.
All right.
We'll get down on the phone. We'll do it live. Frank Catalano, a jazz legend, who's got Bye Bye Blackbird out with Jimmy Chamberlin. You might know him from the Smashing Pumpkins. Sure. And David Sanborn. If you are a hipster jazz guy like myself, you know David Sanborn is one of the greats as well.
He was so cool to me. I was playing a jazz festival when I was probably 16 or 17 with Charles Erland, keyboard player, and Dave Sanborn was the headliner, and we were opening for him, and he helped me out so much getting me on tours and just being nice, and was, up for playing on the album when I asked him last year. So Dave Sanborn is a great guy.
And I like how Frank is actually the top of the card here. It's Frank Catalano Jimmy Chamberlain and David Sanborn. David Sanborn!
I know, right? How is he buried in there?
I don't know, but it's great. This is pretty great. All right, so
number one.
This is really, and you can go to iTunes to get this Bye Bye Blackbird. It's pretty amazing stuff. All right, gentlemen. Don't start your engines. Just stay right there for 1 second, and we'll start them on the other side. The great Jim Cornelison is here, and the great Frank Catalano.
I can't wait.
This is a pretty star-filled room, I must say. But first, Violetta's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. All right, here are our friends. I cannot wait to hear this.
Me either.
You got Jim Cornelison. mm-hmm. who's in studio with us right now. You know him, you love him from the
yes, we do.
Chicago Blackhawks. It's the national anthem there. And then every once in a while, I'll show up, Jim, and you'll be playing somewhere else. You'll be like at the Soldier Field or you know mm-hmm. at any of these venues. And the people, they
go crazy.
They go crazy for you. They go nuts. And a jazz legend, no short a term than that, Frank Catalano is with us, who's going to be, by the way, at the Green Mill tonight, right? It's like the late night show. Starts mm-hmm. at what, 10:30, 11 o'clock, something like that? Later? Like midnight? Midnight, yeah.
But it's worth it.
If you go
best
to Green
venue.
Green Mill Tavern at midnight, there something has gone either really right or really wrong. But I'm going to tell you, that's what it's going to be.
Got to do it at least once.
And this guy has been a saxophone virtuoso since he was a teenager and played with all of the greats. And he's got a new album out called Bye Bye Blackbird featuring it's Frank along with Jimmy Chamberlain from Smashing Pumpkins and David Sanborn. If you're into the jazzy riffs, man, this is for you. All right, fellas, take it away.
Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, thy leaves are so unchanging. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, thy leaves are so unchanging. Not only when the summer's here, but also when it's cold and drear. Oh, Christmas tree, thy leaves are so unchanging. Tannenbaum, thy leaves are so unchanging. Oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Christmas tree, thy leaves are so unchanging. Not only when the summer's here, but also when it's cold and drear. Oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Christmas tree, thy leaves are so unchanging.